This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Let's go to the fan hotline right now. We'll talk a little bit more about what's going on with the Browns and the Browns quarterback situation, a guy that's kind of taking a big picture look at all the quarterbacks in the NFL. He writes for The Athletic, and he's been on the show before. Friend of the show, I would say, probably especially for Dan. He is Mike Sando. Hi, Mike. How are you?
How's it going, Mike?
Great. Good to be here. Thank you.
Well, we are excited to have you on. We talk about quarterback tiers, and I may have tears after hearing what you have to say when you're looking at the Browns situation between Pickett, Flacco, Gabriel, Sanders, Huntley, and sure, why not throw Watson in there? How do the Browns stack up in your tiers?
Well, we don't put any rookies in there, so okay. You know, Shadur Sanders and Dylan Gabriel, there's nothing to evaluate yet. I mean, they play. You know, at least we got Shadur in the preseason, but yeah, I mean, between Flacco, you know, being kind of on his last legs a little bit, he's down in tier four, which for a veteran player means, you know, probably not suited to start the whole season. Flacco got five votes in tier three, which is kind of a legitimate starter who needs help to win. But 11 of the 50 also put him in tier five, so he's not a starter. And then, you know, Kenny Pickett ended up being the only guy in tier five, which I don't know. I feel he's a little bit better than that, but, you know, the situations haven't been good for him. I think Pittsburgh's a good team to go to, except for when he went there with, you know, Matt Canada as coordinator. I don't think was a good situation for him or Ben Roethlisberger for that matter. So he may still have something, but it's, you know, it's hard to look at what the Browns have now and, you know what they have now.
It's one of the highlights of the quarterback tiers column, and everybody should give it a read at The Athletic. It's one of the best reads all year of just seeing where all the different quarterbacks sit, and Joe Flacco and quarterback tier four, and you click it, and it's one of the best lines is a defensive coordinator going, "He's still playing?" I mean, that's just an all-timer, and especially around Cleveland here, where he came in for four games and just lit the world on fire, and like could probably get a statue right next to the stadium, Mike, if he asked politely. Do you think there's anything left in the tank for Joe Flacco, or do you think the guy that we saw in Indianapolis is the guy that Joe Flacco is?
I think he can be better than that. I think it was a good situation there. Now, you know, he's going to need good defensive support, but I think one of the funny, you know, that was a funny quote there on Flacco, is he still playing? But, you know, after having fun with it, I went and looked, like, his numbers the last few years, some of his stats are better than they were earlier in his career. So I think he can still play a little bit. I don't know about the whole grind of the season, you know, a 17-game season, especially if you were asking him to do a ton, right? I think that's unrealistic. But in a play-action type offense where you're going to play good, hopefully play good defense, I think you can do worse. Like, I think it's possible the Colts could be worse, you know?
Mike, what's the matrix on trying to figure out what tier the quarterback's in?
So tier one is a guy who carries it every week, doesn't really have a hole in his game, and when you have to pass, you're in those pure pass situations, he handles it pretty expertly. So there's five guys in that group. And then tier two is just kind of a less consistent version of tier one. There's going to be a hole or two in the game, need a little bit more help. So you get some really good quarterbacks in tier two, like Justin Herbert, Jared Goff, you know, even Jalen Hurts as a Super Bowl winner is there, somebody who probably needs, you know, benefits from the help around him. Baker Mayfield, I don't know if you heard of him, he's in tier two. But I feel like the tier one and two, you could maybe get to the Super Bowl without having, you know, the all-time greatest defense ever or something. And then tier three is going to get paid. We see that tier three's got Kyler Murray, Tua, Trevor Lawrence, Geno Smith, some of these guys. They're good quarterbacks, good starters. You question how far you can go with them. Maybe you got to be special around them. And tier four is either, you know, either like a Flacco type who the league isn't sure you want to go through the whole year with as a starter, or it could be J.J. McCarthy and not enough info, you know. And then five would just be flat out not a starter. So there's a number of guys who got those types of votes. You know, Flacco got 11 of those. Pickett got 28 of those tier fives. So then we just average it all together. And you know, if you're we can get a good idea then of how the league sees, you know, the players at the position.
Mike Sander from The Athletic joining us on the Fan Hotline. Read quarterback tiers. It's must read every year for all the quarterbacks to just see how the league is looking at these guys and thinking of them. And of course, one of them you brought up earlier was Kenny Pickett. And you were thinking maybe he's got a little bit more in a tank. What about you've seen with Kenny Pickett makes you think that maybe there's something there? Because a lot of people in Cleveland are kind of, he's the forgotten man in all of this, who I think a lot of people would like to push to the side to see more of Shedeur Sanders.
Well, some of it, you know, I think there was some reason to like him coming out. Not love him. He didn't go in the top five of the draft. But I think there was something there. And then I think, like I said, so situation is such a big thing for the quarterbacks who come in, especially if you're not, you know, just a great one who comes in like Andrew Luck and just overcomes whatever it is and puts the team on his back. Kenny Pickett's not going to do that. But if Kenny Pickett had been drafted by Minnesota with Kevin O'Connell, you know, he may look better. I look at somebody like Sam Howell. When he had Eric Bieniemy and he's trying to throw every single down, it looked terrible. But if he had to go in and play eight games for Minnesota this year, I bet he would do better, don't you think, with what they've got there and the people around him. I've seen Pete Carroll, you know, who's a big believer in building up people, get a Geno Smith, who's, what's Geno Smith got? I mean, come on. And he becomes a good quarterback with just somebody who believes in him. Conversely, I think Sean Payton wanted nothing to do with Russell Wilson. It was a bad fit, but he likes Bo Nix. Now Bo Nix is doing well. You think if he didn't want to take Bo Nix, they would look that good? So he would look that good. So I think there's some of that. You know, Sam Darnold in New York, tough situation, but gets a chance somewhere else. So I think there's talent with these guys. And so Pickett in a good situation, we'll see if Cleveland would be that, I think would look better than he would look in a bad situation.
It's interesting you bring up Sam Darnold when thinking of that too, because that's the name that pops in my head of the guy who found the perfect situation at Kevin O'Connell, who just knows what he's doing. Now J.J. McCarthy takes the helm, Sam Darnold finding his way to the Seahawks. From people you've talked to around the league, did Minnesota make the right move by handing the keys to J.J. McCarthy?
I think there's a mix of opinions on that. Like, probably based on where, here's the deal. If you had that conviction on him to take him that early, then play him. Then I think you do that. But what I wonder is, you know, that if we got together, I don't care if we got together 20 of our friends or we got together the Vikings front office, guaranteed there's going to be some people after last year who think you should stick with Darnold, right? I think that's the interesting thing for an organization. Just like internally with Cleveland, there was probably some people who didn't want to do Deshaun Watson, or there's some people who didn't want to bring back Flacco, and some people who did. Those are the types of debates that go on. They have to be there in a healthy organization, but it makes you wonder, like, who is pushing for what in Minnesota? Because they kind of had Darnold, didn't do it. A lot of times the coach would like to have the guy who he just won with, the known quantity. And then you flirted a little bit with Aaron Rodgers, reportedly. Didn't do it. There's been some question marks, it seems, with McCarthy. Nothing really spelled out, but you just get the feeling that there's, for some reason, they weren't 100%, they wanted to kind of see what he was going to do this offseason before they turned over this winning team to a rookie. So if the conviction's high on him, yes, you do it. But I would imagine there were different opinions there in Minnesota because Darnold looked so good for most of the year.
Mike, what's your take on Baker Mayfield? I mean, the gigantic jump into Tier 1 this year. Do you see the trend moving forward? What do you see when you look at Baker Mayfield?
I felt like you guys may know more than me from watching him. You know, in Cleveland, the injury was a part of it, and I think maturity, too. I think he's probably matured, and I think getting to not just any other situation, but he's had some time. He feels like a little bit of a different guy, I think, and, you know, now they have another third year in a row he's going with a coordinator who's never done it before. So there's always the chance that their next coordinator is not very good, and Baker's affected by that. But I think you have to give him credit for, you know, Dave Canales and Liam Cohen had never called plays before, and they both got head coaching jobs after 1 year. Yeah. I think that has to be, you know, not only the players around Baker, but Baker too. I think he's definitely taken a step, found a groove. Some of it is just, hey, you're in a place you feel wanted, right? You got a good group of guys, and it just meshes. And I think he's at that point in his career where it looks pretty good, and now we'll see if this next coordinator is, you know, is good, bad, or indifferent.
Mike Sando joining us on the hotline, Reed Quarterback Tears on The Athletic right now. Always a fantastic read. Mike, as you were doing the research for all of this and talking to all the offensive gurus, front office people, defensive coordinators, did the reputation of Kevin Stefanski come up at all? And if it did, how much of an offensive mind does the league see Kevin Stefanski as being?
Yeah, not in particular. It didn't come up. You know, I think he's well regarded in the league, not just as an offensive guy, but as a head coach. Just you know, and I've heard that. I remember talking to some people about that maybe a year or two ago, because they've gone through obviously some tough stuff at quarterback, and I think the general impression is that he's weathered it and done done pretty well with the hand he's been dealt. And I think that's what people feel like, is just sort of like, I don't know how you guys feel, but I don't know that he and Andrew Berry would have done what they did with Deshaun Watson. It felt like they sort of got, you know, not that they were not complicit in some way, but I felt like they were sort of dealt that hand and kind of had to play him, you know? Did you feel that too?
We're still trying to get to the bottom of everything that took place and all of those things, but you could kind of get a sense every so often.
Yeah, that's just kind of what I felt about it. I think the league kind of sees it that way too, because otherwise there'd probably be changes, right, if they were responsible for doing that. It feels like the owner sort of was part of that. So I think we just need to let the waters settle and move on. Like, I felt last year they should have moved on from Deshaun Watson earlier. And I think if they can get through that, we'll get a clear picture of, you know, Stefanski working with quarterbacks. They got a couple young ones now, too. That was a weird process. Hey, who do you think Stefanski wanted to take both of those guys, or did he like one more than the other? You always don't really know there who's doing what, and so I think that can cloud it for the head coach.
Well, you know how that goes, man. You want to have six quarterbacks on the roster at all times, because then you can put all six out there and 11 personnel and throw all sorts of, you know, passes and behind the back and all that kind of stuff.
And a lot of people in the league wondered going in the draft, hey, are they just going to kind of, you know, take a year off here and come out swinging when Deshaun Watson's off the books? And they sort of hedged their bets by, they took quarterbacks, but they didn't declare on one early. When you take them in the third and fifth round, it's not the same as the first round. You're just sort of taking guys. So we'll see what this year looks like, what they get out of those guys. Those guys probably aren't ready to lead a team to a bunch of victories. So maybe we'll find out what they really want to do next year.
Do you see a path to above 500 for the Cleveland Browns this year?
I mean, there's a long pause there for me on that. You know, I think it would have to be 9-8.
Right.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's kind of, because I've been doing that lately, Mike, of trying to figure out, okay, is there a path to above 500 that involves great defense and a ball control offense and a really good offensive line and it humming from there? And so that's why I was wondering, okay, maybe Mike might see this path too, and I don't know.
Yeah, I can see that path, you know, and we joke about having all these different quarterbacks, but, you know, maybe one of them does well, you know.
Mike Sando, thank you very much. Make sure you read him at The Athletic. NewYorkTimes.com is /athletic as well, so make sure you check that out. I have to tell you, I kind of want to sit down with my fantasy draft and make sure I've got this with me while I'm looking at this too. So thank you, Mike. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it. We'll see you.
There you go. Mike Sando.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Mike Sando was just with us from The Athletic talking about quarterback tiers. The thing that caught my eye the most in those quarterback tiers is the jump Baker Mayfield made. He was up 8 spots from a year ago, and I'm not going to live on the wheel of regret for this entire segment, so I'm going to let it go. But it's worth reading the article. And I'm just still bummed that I just think they messed up the entire Mayfield thing. But you're going to have to turn the page at some point, and so today's a good day to do it, even though you've got 4 quarterbacks on a roster, 5 quarterbacks on a roster, and you have no idea what this season's going to look like or have any confidence in a quarterback that's going to be able to get you through 17 games. That to me, Dan, is the hard part for me because I don't have confidence in anyone, and I'll throw Watson in there too. You know, you've got 6 quarterbacks. I don't have any confidence that any one of those guys could lead them through a 17-game schedule. I don't think Flacco will stay healthy for the whole season.
I don't think Flacco's going to stay healthy for the whole season either.
So,
and my whole thing with Baker Mayfield, and it's my whole thing with life as well, is I can't fix the past. I can only learn from it and figure out how to make sure I don't repeat those same things again. And that's where I am with the Browns and Baker Mayfield. I can't fix it.
I thought Mike said something interesting about him, his maturity.
Oh, he will openly admit that. He was on, oh goodness, was it Part of My Take? I think he was on Part of My Take. And that's one of the things that he said was, he was like, I grew up in Tampa. And I think some of that played into it. You know, it's always my problem I have with this stuff is it's like, you can't just copy and paste someone back in and all of a sudden, get success there. There are so many extenuating circumstances that come with all of these people. It's the same argument I've always had with people go, well, if you put, Brown should have drafted this player. Well, would they have been patient with Josh Allen? Would they have let Josh Allen throw a boatload of picks all over the place?
I think that the problem I have with the Baker Mayfield story.
Would they let Patrick Mahomes sit for a season? Learn some of those things?
Oh, I don't know.
Would they have let Aaron Rodgers sit for 2 years? Like that,
I understand what you're saying.
I hate that argument for that reason, because I think that some of those circumstances that quarterbacks have to conquer is what makes them better.
I just think the Baker situation was so fragile. It was just so, it never should have happened. I think that's what bothers me more than anything, is that it never should have happened. I don't have a problem with the front office kicking the tires to see, it, especially at the time, knowing how good Deshaun was and how good he had played on a team that hadn't won, and they felt like they had a team that was just one. And by the way, Baker was, one play away from AFC championship, right? If they make a play here, defense makes a play, you're there.
Chad Henne doesn't roll out. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just, the maturity part of it on both sides, I'll be honest with you, it seemed to come into play on that. Especially Baker just, you know, they kicked the tires on a good quarterback, and Baker got upset about that.
And it's
especially knowing that he was going into a contract year. So, you know, you're right. I mean, I've moved on from it. I just, when I read the article, I'm like, man, I can't believe Baker went up 8 spots in this tier ranking system. And I'm just like, wow.
And you also deal with the repercussions of perpetual overhauls when it comes to Baker Mayfield, because it's really easy to walk in and go, that's not my guy. Don't hitch me to that guy. That's not my guy. I didn't bring him in here. He's not the guy that we were looking for. Hmm. It's really, really easy to do that in the NFL. And right now, if you want to evaluate Kevin Stefanski and you want to evaluate Andrew Berry, everything that's in front of them is their cause. They've been here for 5 years. There's no, this guy is not my problem. He wasn't drafted by me. No, 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 no. You've been here long enough. This is it. This is what you've produced.
The question is, what's going to be bigger, the hole that was left by the trade from Deshaun Watson, which still exists.
Right.
In the 3 years of not having a first round
draft pick. There's a reason you got one of the older rosters in the league.
Or the hole they're going to have to dig at the new stadium, the new dome. If you missed that, that was a big story today, too.
Watch Ken out for Pendergrass, water.
Yeah, watch out for the water.
Watch out for water.
From Neotrans blog. And Daryl Ryder's followed up with this, you know, saying that the Browns are talking with ODOT to try to figure this out. That the dome, they got denied a permit, or they got denied a permit by the Ohio Department of Transportation. To say that the building's too tall by 58 feet. And because of the airport, that makes a difference. And the Browns came back. There's a quote in the blog's story from Ken Pendergrass that just said, our aviation consultants were surprised by ODOT's letter from 2 weeks ago, which is flatly at odds with the FAA's careful analysis and determinations resulting from well over a year of in-depth work. Like, the Browns didn't put those plans out thinking that they were going to be an FAA problem.
No.
I don't know. I look at our current stadium and I think that's an FAA problem, but that's
not me. So. Without question, something must have gone awry. Either they had bad information or they were told wrong.
I thought it was interesting when we had that architect on from St. Louis saying that ODOT might need to be educated by the FAA.
Let's be honest.
ODOT's main, I mean, yes, they have an aviation office, but isn't their main responsibility the roads? Right? I mean, I've never once thought of ODOT and airports or anything above me.
Yeah, I haven't either. You're right.
Never. I've never once thought of ODOT and going, oh, yeah, you know, I'm driving by the Cuyahoga County Airport in Richmond Heights. I hope ODOT's got to make sure that that the landing strip is good there. Wait, what?
This seems like one of those, like, just hiccups along the way. Like, are you panicked about this? I have no
panic. Not at all. To me, yeah. I mean, without sounding insane, it sounds like it's a pimple on the rear end of the Browns.
Exactly. I don't think this is a mess. I don't think this is here we go, you know. Like, I don't think it's any of that stuff again. I think this is just like, this has happened. I am sure the Haslam Sports Group and the group that they're working with to build this dome are probably talking with ODOT right now, attempting to figure out, okay, this is what we were told by the FAA. This is what we did with this. Why is this currently an issue that you're saying now? And who knows? Maybe it is an issue and I got to dig the thing deeper and it's going to cost more money than for them to go deeper. Well, okay. We knew this was going to happen. Anyone who has done any kind of building knows that the minute you start,
right,
there's going to be things that'll pop up that you don't see coming. I mean, we have all been stuck watching Fixer Upper once or twice. We know how HGTV does it. you know what I'm talking about. We've all been there. Or we're sitting there and we don't have control of the remote that night. And you're sitting there with your significant other. You're watching HGTV or you enjoy it yourself, which is perfectly fine. It is never a smooth move. It is never a smooth way to, you know, hey, yeah, this is my plan. It's going to work perfectly. It's like, nope. There's always something.
And you knew it was interesting to hear. Somebody else had called in and just talked about the contingency. Like, they had to have contingency plans if some of this stuff came up. So, I know we've been talking about this for years. I'm kind of done talking about it. I think everyone's kind of settled into the fact that the Browns are moving into a dome. That, yeah. You know, anyone that's complaining about it now, it's just, I want to see the city of Cleveland have the most awesome lakefront in the history of lakefronts and be able to do something with it, and the county as well. I know that the county, at least the head of the county would like to see, you know, obviously that area be more useful. I would say not more useful, just useful. Whether, you know, Chris Renee wanted the Browns there or not, I mean, it's very clear he did not want them to move. The one part about it for the city is like they've got so many things going on. Being the landlord for a building that's used 12 times a year, 14 times a year, it just, to me, I just think of so many better things the city can do. But the biggest thing about the dome, whether, you know, this is a hiccup or this is going to cause some problems, is the fact that it's a $3.6 billion enclosed stadium. And like I was talking to somebody who works one of the trades last week, and just stop and think about all the jobs that will be here for construction to be able to do not only that, but the project on the lakefront, if they can ever get moving on that too. And, you know, it takes people, it takes the hardworking people of Northeast Ohio that have made this city great to build that stadium. Someone's got to build that. And, you know, I go back and it just, and maybe this is just the son of an electrician who's sitting here talking about the fact that you've got electricians and pipe fitters and plumbers and sheet metal workers and laborers and all these folks that, you know, and I'm not, it just, it creates more jobs. It puts more money in our economy. And yes, I understand. Like, I wish they were building this thing downtown. I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. I wish that they would build this stadium in downtown Cleveland and make it retractable. That to me is it. But I mean, this is where the money is and this is where they're at. And I see that influx of cash coming in into the county. And I just see, you know, I look at other cities that I've been to before and I see the impact they can have in Indianapolis and other places. And, you know, Minneapolis is a place where I was lucky enough to go to plenty of times to watch them. And you see the excitement of it's not about the Browns. That's just it. For me, it's not about the Browns. It's about a building that may have taxpayer money involved in it. Yes. But it's a building you use more than 12 times a year. I don't know what the ticket prices are going to be. I'll be honest with you. They're going to be way more than they should be. We all kind of know that. That's the price of having an NFL team.
Yep. Especially in a sport that more and more wants you to be at home watching the game more than they want you to be in the stadium watching the game.
Yeah.
I mean, just look at the way they treat flexing in Thursday night games.
Yeah.
They want the people at home on TV on their couch more than they want the people in the buildings. It's just the reality. What this is something that the state of Ohio does not have, which is a 65,000 seat indoor facility that you could do a boatload of things with, including, you know, I know everybody's going, Super Bowl. No. All the big wrestling things. I bet you'll see some Big Ten title stuff coming in here, whether it's Big Ten volleyball, Big Ten, you know, who knows what they could do with that thing. Maybe you get swimming and diving in here.
They can bid on
band competitions.
Yeah.
I always go back to what you've told me with Lucas Oil, because you're 100% right. Look at all the different ways they use that thing. They do band competitions in there. They do first responders conventions in there where they bring everybody in and show them the latest technology that's used to save people from burning buildings and help people in ambulances and whatnot. They use Lucas Oil for that thing in Indy. Board game conventions. The National. Like, there are so many other things that you can point to and use that stadium for. The auto show. I bet you that stadium becomes the home of the auto show.
Well, something's got to happen with the IX Center now.
Right?
Not being able, you know, that's going to be something else. So
I mean, it opens the door to a lot of things. And do I wish billionaires would pay for their own darn stadiums?
Yes.
Yeah, very much so.
The problem is when they pay for every penny of it, your ticket prices go up. I'm not going to lie. I think these ticket prices are going to be insane.
Yeah, I wish billionaires paid for their own damn stadiums.
Be? I
do. Sadly, this is the cost. This is the reality. This is having an NFL team. I want billionaires to pay for their own damn stadiums, but here we are.
Yep. All right, let's come back. We'll put a bow on the show. And there's, speaking of shows, I mean, gigantic one. Tonight, we got to talk about that. 216-474-0092. Basket of Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards and which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.